Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. In today's video, I'm going to be talking about the secrets of investing. But actually, more specifically, I'm going to be talking about the secrets that companies hold, the great big winners hold in getting a competitive advantage in the market. And as an investor, how can we find out what kind of secrets these companies have, what kind of key insights these companies have that give them the competitive advantage? I think this is going to help us out a lot as investors. All right, so today we're literally talking about secrets. Not just secrets in investing, but secrets that companies hold that give them a competitive advantage. And as investors, how can we spot out and understand those secrets before other people do? All right, this is taken or kind of spawned out from reading Peter Thiel's book called Zero to One. In my last video, I talked about the seven questions that he asks for every investment that he makes. And I kind of titled it Questions That Every Investor Needs to Ask. And in his seven questions, I think the last question that he asks is probably the most unique, and I want to focus on that for this video. But for those who haven't watched the last video or want a refresh, here are the seven questions that Peter Thiel talks about. First, he says, can you create breakthrough technology instead of incremental improvements? That's the first question. Second, is now the right time to start your particular business? Number three, are you starting with a big share of a small market? Number four, do you have the right team? Number five, do you have a way to not just create but deliver your product, like a means of actually getting it into the customer's hands? Number six, will your market position be defensible 20 or 10 or 20 years into the future? And number seven, and this is going to be the focus of today's video, have you identified a unique opportunity that others don't see? Now, Peter Thiel, he refers to this as kind of like a secret, right? An insight that companies have that they spot an opportunity that other people just don't see, and that gives them a competitive advantage. Now, in summary, these seven questions are kind of broken down into these summaries. First, there's an engineering question. Is this company innovating enough? Second, it's a timing issue. Is this company at the right time doing what they're needing to do? Third, does this company have a big share in a small market? And Peter Thiel calls it a monopoly issue, but I'd like to call it kind of like dominating, right, your market segment. Fourth, do you have the right team? Fifth, do you have distribution? Sixth, you have durability, or I like to call it defensibility, the ability to defend your product superiority over time. And lastly, it's a secret. It's the opportunity that you see that other people don't see. Now, Peter Thiel asks in his book this question, what valuable company is nobody building? Right? And I think this is kind of an interesting question to ask. Back in the day when Google first got started, Larry Page and Sergey were going around trying to pitch their technology, right, to other companies. And they went to Yahoo trying to sell, right, their business or their idea, and Yahoo just wasn't interested, right? And what Larry and Sergey saw from the early get-go was, A, there's going to be a huge business, right, with search, right, with intelligible search that's ranked accordingly, and nobody is building that company. So they were forced, in a sense, to build a company called Google. All right, why do so many people believe that there are no hard secrets left? This is a question that Peter Thiel poses in his book. And he has a few answers. First, he says, well, most of geography is already discovered, right? So there's not a lot of like secret lands or secret islands, right, left in the world. And so that kind of lowers our kind of standard of what kind of secrets are available. Second, he says there's a lot of incrementalism. People think that things have to be done step by step, right? And I think there's a certain truth to that, right? Tiny steps lead to a big outcome. However, a lot of times people, because they think everything has to be tiny steps, they don't think there are many secrets or big secrets left. Third, a lot of people are just averse to risk, right? They're just wanting safety and security. And I think the more that sometimes people have, the more they lean toward being averse to risk. And this actually hurts their belief in that there are big secrets left to find out. Fourth is complacency. And fifth is just a belief of flatness, right? That the global world is so flat that the world is in complete competition with each other. And therefore, if there were any secrets, it would already be found out. Companies would already, right, make it happen. Peter Thiel says, you can't find secrets without looking for them. Meaning one of the key insights to starting a business or investing in a sense is you need to find the opportunities that people aren't really understanding or knowing themselves. The actual truth is that there are many more secrets left to be find, left to find, but they will yield only to the relentless searchers, right? And this is kind of like part of my philosophy too, is a lot of times we are looking for, or we think we want the great business opportunity, we want the big winner, but really, are we really searching and relentlessly going after, right, the big winners? How much research are we really doing? How much do we want to do it? Like, for example, are we going to sleep at night thinking about, like, what are the big winners, right, going to be? And are we waking up with ideas? And are we following it up throughout the day with research, just looking at company after company after company? And I think there is something about the concept of relentless searching. Now, Peter Thiel, he describes secrets into two things. I kind of disagree, but here's what he says. He says, first, there's natural secrets. And these natural secrets are undiscovered aspects of the physical world. And the second type of secret are things that people don't know about themselves, or things that they hide because they don't want others to know. Now, I think that actually there are actually some various different other types of secrets too. There could be even spiritual type of secrets or different angles of secrets, but he talks about just these two in his book. He says that the best place to look for secrets is where no one else is looking. Right, and this is what I kind of talk about on this channel, is there's so much herd mentality, right? Following the crowd. If someone talks about a company or trend, everyone is doing that thing, right? And I think there's this unique angle for great investing where you're looking where actually no one else really is looking. All right, so I want to dive into a few companies, and I want to actually talk about this concept of what I'm calling is key insight. Now, in Peter Thiel's book, he calls it a secret, right? And it's understanding or seeing an opportunity where other people just don't see that opportunity. I like kind of the word insight because I think it kind of better suits what I'm kind of understanding and really valuing here. Is any company, in order to have a competitive advantage, there has to be kind of a value behind it, a worldview, kind of a systematic understanding of what's going to give them the competitive advantage. And I call that their key insight. And for a company to be successful, they need at least one key insight. And many companies will have multitude, right? Many key insights, but probably an overarching, right, major key insight to kind of bind them all together. So let's go through some examples of companies that probably you're familiar with. And let's take kind of, it's almost like a philosophical look at these companies, but looking at what is their key insight? What are they seeing that other people aren't seeing? What's their secret, and how does that give them that competitive advantage? And this is important because if you can understand this, you can understand it before other people can. You can catch meaning the early winners, like the early companies that are going to be big winners because they just have better key insights and they're executing on a higher level. All right, first, let's take Apple. Now, Apple is based upon, I think, this major key insight that Steve Jobs pushed and is being carried on to this day. And it's a belief that people want the best at the intersection of science and humanities. Apple feels that science is not enough and humanities is not enough. And that when you bring them together in kind of this marvelous, magical way, you bring out the best in humanities and the best in technology. And they believe that there's a human side to technology and a technological side to humans. And when you bring that all together, that's when the true value happens. And consequently, Apple believes that hardware plus software, that integrated experience, provides the best overall customer experience. Now you can see this key insight at play. Like recently I bought a new MacBook Pro, right? It's a great experience. iPad Pro, actually I got an iPad Pro and an iPad Pro Magic Keyboard and an iPhone SE all in the past few months. And every Apple product is just, it's just impressive, right? A lot of people bag on Apple saying they've lost their innovation, right, all sorts of stuff, but their products just are so well done. And it's really hard to hit that intersection where the technology is good, but also the design, right? The user experience, the empathy, the emotion, right? And that's the thing about Apple. Apple's got some emotion in their products. That's what Apple understands. That's their secret. And people who bag on Apple, I don't think they're understanding, right, the key insight that Apple has, and that's the reason why Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world. All right, let's look at Tesla. What is Tesla's key insight or key insights? I think one of the key insights is that people are going to buy the best overall product, and currently with gas cars and having gas stations everywhere, that's an amazing whole product ecosystem, right? You can drive a gas car anywhere, get gas, fill up in like a few minutes, and continue to go. and you don't have to pay for the pollution, right? At least just, you don't personally have to do pay for it, society does. But that whole overall product as a individual in terms of convenience, right, and cost is an amazing type of product that is going to be hard to beat. And Tesla and Elon Musk understood that from the get-go, that in order to beat ICE, that Tesla had to provide a better overall experience, a better ecosystem, right? And that's why Tesla started actually with superchargers, right? And a long range EV that looked great. Tesla understood that people wanted sexy cars, not just practical cars, and that they needed to tackle one market segment at a time. That's why they hit Roadster, right? That market. That's why they hit the Model S, the Model X, and then the Model 3 and the Model Y. And every market segment that they take, they're looking to dominate. And they understand that they need to dominate each market segment, and that's the way to grow their company. And lastly, they understand that lithium batteries are riding a very predictable declining cost curve. And with those improvements, it's just a matter of time that there's going to be cost parity with ICE cars, and that EV electric cars is going to win. So Tesla has a lot of key insights, and this is just a few of them. There are actually many more that bring together the unique kind of combination and the competitive advantage that Tesla has. All right, let's look at Square. Square is a financial payments company. I've done a few videos on them. Square has two business models. One is they're providing services to retailers, right? Usually smaller stores, and they're trying to democratize business, meaning they're trying to give a chance for, you know, people to start businesses but not get bogged down with all the back end of all the finances and register and accounting and all that stuff and payments and invoicing. And Square takes care of most of that. Also, Square also has a Cash App, and with their Cash App, they're doing their key insight is they want to democratize banking. They really think that banking is kind of, you know, for those who have money, but there's a lot of people who are unbanked, right, that big banks don't care about. And that's the one of the key insights that Square has, is they want to democratize banking services. And that's why with their Cash App, they're adding services like buying stocks, right? Being able to get rewards and savings, and they're going to continue to add various bank services because they have a key insight that there's a lot of people that are underbanked that need to be banked, and they're going to democratize banking. All right, let's look at Shopify. Shopify is another company, a major growth company, and they had this key insight early on that online selling is not easy, right? Meaning that people are gonna have a challenging time with online selling. And it goes through like making a storefront, right? Checking out, doing returns, communicating with your customers, and actually starting to ship your products, you know, tracking your products, getting returns, invoicing. There's a whole field of complexity that a lot of just small sellers are not gonna have the time or energy to do. And Shopify realized that very early on, and they made it a goal. Their key insight was to simplify the shopping experience. And because of that, they're riding the e-commerce wave. It was an inevitable trend, right, that Shopify is riding and has continued to ride. All right, let's look at Amazon, a company that, right, everyone knows about. What is Amazon's key insight, right? What is making Amazon Amazon, right? How is it that they have such a competitive advantage and they've grown to this point? Well, I think first thing is they understand fast shipping and low prices wins. And Amazon has been relentless with this. And this is one of the reasons why they've foregone a lot of profits over the years, because they wanted to keep free shipping, low prices as tight as possible, right? As low as possible, so that they can gain market share, right? They were always, and the second thing is they're always playing the long game. They knew that this whole e-commerce trend, right, people switching over to buying things online, was gonna be a multi-decade trend, and that Amazon needed to play the long game, right? Focus on what really mattered, right? Low prices, fast shipping, right? Easy returns, etc. Also, Amazon has web services, Amazon Web Services, AWS. And they realized early on this was gonna be a huge, right, industry, with almost every single business having to do some type of cloud service. And so with this, Amazon did the same application, which they realized, hey, people want low prices. They want easy, simplified experiences. And Amazon provided that with AWS, and they realized that they're playing the long game again. All right, Netflix. What is Netflix's key insight or secret? What opportunity is Netflix seeing that other people aren't seeing? And I think their key insight is that the best and most convenient content wins, right? Early on, they knew that TV was doomed because TV just wasn't convenient. You couldn't watch whatever you wanted at the right time. And with Netflix, they realized that, hey, convenience is gonna win, right? You wanna watch what you wanna watch at the time you wanna watch. But it's not just that. Amazon realized that they need to have quality content. And a lot of people have been bagging on Netflix. Netflix, because they think that, oh, Netflix is just kind of a content player. They're going to be squeezed out by all these other content companies. However, Netflix, in their kind of key insight, in their secret, what they're doing is they're trying to build the best, highest premium content that completely dominates the content space. And the way they're trying to do this is they're trying to use data to place more bets on new content, meaning they're tracking exactly what type of content people are watching, and they're using a lot of data, aggregating all that data to understand, you know, what type of shows they need to seed. And Netflix can seed a lot more shows than typical studios because they could do so on a more limited basis. They could say, hey, let's commit to, you know, a few episodes or half a season or 5 episodes, because there's really no clear season on Netflix too, right? You don't have to have a certain number of episodes like a typical channel would. And so with that, Netflix is using their data advantage to spread more bets with content to kind of create a more premium and engaging content library. So watch, in 5 or 10 years, right, Netflix, as they continue to do this, use their data advantage, they're going to continue to grow their content, and they're going to bet big on their key insight, which is the best and most convenient content will win. Let's look at SpaceX. SpaceX is in the news. Tomorrow they're going to try another attempt, if the weather is good, to launch humans into space. An amazing accomplishment. How is SpaceX able to do what they're doing to this point? A few key insights that Elon Musk had. He knew that Mars colonization is achievable with rocket reusability. And he knew reusability was possible using first principles, and it was just an engineering problem to solve. And so he set his mind and his company, right, site on solving the rocket reusability problem, and that would enable the possibility to colonize Mars. Second, he realized that reusability would open up other opportunities, other monetization opportunities. Currently, SpaceX is finding some type of limited kind of revenue streams with the satellite, commercial satellite launch business. And because of that, they've invested heavily into Starlink, which is their satellite internet system, which is being rolled out this year and in coming years as well. But with that, they realized that space is a huge, huge market, right? I mean, this is like, you know, this is probably the biggest market in the far going future. And SpaceX and Elon Musk realized that, and that's part of their competitive advantage. There's also some other key insights. Elon realized that, you know, optimization, right? In every little part is going to matter. And if you optimize 1,000 parts, put that together, that's going to be a big cost optimization. All right, Peloton is in the news. I did a video on Peloton before. What's their key insight? I think one of their key insights is that experiential fitness content is underrated, meaning a lot of times people say, hey, the gym is the best, or a in-person class is the best. But I think Peloton, one of their key insights was saying, hey, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to have an in-person class. We could actually have amazing online content, right? And we think that's underrated, and it's not done in the right way. So they boosted the standard. They say, hey, what if we connected, right, a machine, connected the videos, made it interactive, made it group, made it live. And they figured that, and they had a key insight that actually home fitness can be better than the gym, right? And they're betting their company on that. All right, one more company, Fiverr. Fiverr is an online freelancing company. And one of their key insights was that, hey, fixed prices for online services can scale, right? Up until this point, a lot of people felt with freelancing that you had to do an auction system, right? A bidding. You post a project, all these freelancers bid, you interview a bunch of people, you award a project, etc. But Fiverr went the other direction. Rather than doing a bidding process, they did a fixed price process, right? And with the fixed price process, they felt like it was a better experience, both for the buyer, because they didn't have to interview, right, and go through this lengthy auction, but also for the seller, because they could just have quick kind of jobs. And Fiverr is betting on this, and I think with the whole pandemic situation, they're actually doing pretty well with that. All right, let's do another company here, Cloudflare. Just a disclosure, a lot of these companies actually I do have some position in, made over the past few months. So Cloudflare says, give the service, here's a key insight of Cloudflare. Cloudflare is kind of a web kind of monitoring security company. And what they do is, when you have a domain, right? Let's say you have a www, you know, Dave Lee domain. a lot of times that domain needs some security, right? You could be susceptible to attacks, denial of service attacks, or just different things to block out, you know, your site. And there are a lot of different things, especially when you make a website too, you want to optimize that website, right, to have things delivered faster. So what Cloudflare has done is they said everyone needs, right, protection against the DDoS attacks. And so they give that for free. So everyone who has a website, you could just sign up for Cloudflare, point your domain to that, you get that protection for free. But then they start to monetize with extra services like speed optimization. If you want your site to load faster for people, for images or other stuff, then they'll charge extra. And so they're using that, you know, as kind of their key insight. Twitter, what's Twitter's key insight? I think Twitter's key insight, and you know, after watching a ton of Jack Dorsey's interviews, I finally understood what he was trying to do and what he is trying to do. And he wants to democratize mass media. Typically, mass media has been reserved for those with, you know, millions and millions of dollars, for tycoons, right, to get out their message and control their message and narrative and create a following. However, Jack Dorsey, he looks at Twitter as an opportunity to democratize that, to give anyone who has the will, right, and the strategy and desire to go in and to create a following, right, and to create, in a sense, their own mass media platform or outlet. And that's what Twitter is doing. All right, so that was kind of a rough rundown of this concept of key insight, right? Every company needs a key insight, or a multitude, like a portfolio of key insights, in order to gain a competitive advantage to the market. Now, before you're investing, this is my philosophy, before I'm investing in a company, I'm wanting to understand what their key insight is. A lot of people, they just overlook, right, and just do a quick look at a company says, and they think that, yes, no, right, I'll just invest or not. However, I think there's a deeper exercise here, and it's to get to the heart of things and to look at it from a deeper angle, from multiple angles actually, and to see, A, will this company really succeed? One of the risk factors and challenges with this is that sometimes you have a key insight, but the insight just isn't strong enough, meaning there's a limited market for that insight. For example, let's say you're having a business and you wash windows. And let's say your key insight is that you're gonna get clean windows, and you're gonna do it at a, you're gonna treat the customers first, right? You're gonna be the most courteous, most, you know, prompt, communicate well with your customers, etc. Now, you might do well locally, right? Because there are actually quite a few businesses that struggle with the idea of customer first, right? It's a big struggle. But if you really put your customers first, right, and really try to help them and serve their needs, typically you're gonna do decently, especially in a service industry. However, the question mark is, will this key insight scale? Meaning, will it allow you to go into more markets? And I think just having this key insight might not be enough, meaning you need some other type of key insights to really make it scalable. For example, take Panda Express, right? Panda Express, their whole thing was, the founders were supposedly, like, he was an engineer, and he realized with the food processing, the process of food in a restaurant, it was just so inefficient. So he took kind of his engineering mind, and he said, okay, what would we do to make it super efficient? And he said, oh, batch cooking, right? And serving, you know, of plates. And he just made the whole experience so much more efficient. And that key insight, right, without sacrificing, let's say, you know, taste, and that key insight of bringing kind of engineering level efficiency to the restaurant, right, level kind of Chinese fast food business, it allowed Panda Express to become scalable, right, to grow their business across many different regions or places. And so when we're looking at a company as an investor, the thing is, we're looking at what their key insight is for that company, but can that key insight scale, and can it compete against these other companies in those fields that also have their own, right, competing key insights? Now, anyways, if you have any questions about this, please go ahead and leave a comment in this video. And if you like this video, please give a thumbs up, because that really helps, you know, the video out by helping, I guess, pushing the YouTube algorithm to suggesting this video more. So go ahead, like the video, add a question, a comment. What other companies would you like to hear about, right? What other companies are you thinking about? And the companies in your portfolio, pick one company that you have. Give me the key insight that you think this company has in the comment section. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. And we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.